The 17th century poet Alexander Pope wrote, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread." Right, you've heard that. So I'm inviting you to join this fool, your pastor, for a moment as he rushes into an area of consideration that he really knows very little about. But hey, it's what I do every Sunday, rushing in to speak about God, which ultimately I know very little about. So I'm practiced at this, being a fool rushing to where angels fear to tread. And fear is where we begin. It's what jumped out from Psalm 111, that phrase that occurs elsewhere in Scripture many, many times. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We liberal Christians don't go in much for the fire and brimstone approach to faith that emphasizes fear, the wrath of God, and fear of the Lord. But the Bible does have a special place for it, which makes sense given how real fear is for us in so many ways. And if we are going to fear something, better fear God at the top, who is a God of forgiveness, love, and redemption, than many of the other things that there are to fear in this world, things that do not have an opinion about our well-being. One of the things we fear these days, a fear that's being ginned up right now everywhere you turn, is the way artificial intelligence is taking our world by storm. So I thought for a few moments this morning I would tread into this with Psalm 111, verse 10 as our guiding scripture, placing before us first and foremost the fear of the Lord, a fear of the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and allow our fear of AI, maybe if some of us have that, artificial intelligence, to come in a distant second and make that the beginning of our wisdom in this area. Okay, sound okay? Am I giving you a choice? Okay, good. Go for it, someone said. All right, so I'm starting at the basics. I know some of you out there, this is you know, well known to you, but if you're anything like me, I guess I'm speaking to those like me that are beginning to put my foot in this, hopefully not in my mouth, but in, you know, wading into this for the first time in a deeper way. So to start from the basics, artificial intelligence refers to computer systems capable of performing complex tasks that historically only humans could do, such as reasoning, making decisions, and solving problems. Because they are trained on huge data sets that allow for a simulation of these human behavior, trained on human language. As James Cham from Bloomberg Beta explains, it's the harnessing of all recorded knowledge into large language models, which can then be brought to bear on problems at hand. Whether that problem is the diagnosis of a disease or the best route to get from here to Cambridge at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. So Brian Green, who is the director of technology ethics at Santa Clara University in California, says that a more accurate way to name artificial intelligence that's less apt for misunderstanding is automated intelligence. Because what's important to remember is that artificial intelligence is not something other than our intelligence, right? It's just massively automated human intelligence. So he explains, industrialization took our human strength and automated it. Intelligentization, what AI is doing, takes our human intelligence and automates it. I've got the quotes up here, choir. Sorry you're not seeing them, but I'll read it to you again. Industrialization took our human strength and automated it. Intelligentization takes our human intelligence and automates it. Right? So most all of us are already using AI, whether we are fully aware of it or not. If you open your phone with facial recognition, you are using it. If you are on Instagram or Facebook, you are experiencing in your feeds the results of AI algorithms. If you ever send an email or text and get a little suggestion for how that word or phrase could be written better or spelled correctly, you have AI to thank for that. If you're searching on Google or voice-activating a smartphone device like Alexa or using GPS on your phone to travel, banking online, getting recommendations from Netflix about the next show to binge, you are engaging and benefiting, hopefully, from artificial intelligence. And as we've heard, while there are incredible ways it's being used in the medical field, for instance, there are also scarier and nefarious ways that we've been hearing about, like impersonating someone else's voice in scams where the victim cannot tell whether it's their grandson, granddaughter, or not. Or manipulating images that cannot be distinguished from reality. Creating autonomous weapon systems for more precise and deadly warfare. Surveilling people, revealing personal data, manipulating elections, and so on. And then people are writing papers with it, right? And emails and obituaries with AI. They are using AI as their personal therapists and tutors already. You can have an AI large model of all of Jung's writings and correspondences, for instance, and then do some therapy with AI Jung and reanimate that. And then there's reanimating, I think the program is called Replica. There's reanimating a loved one who has died, as well as creating perfect, albeit virtual, partners and spouses to fall in love with. So if you've never explored ChatGPT at all, the AI chatbot that generates human-like responses to anything, is pretty stunning. It is stunning, I have to say. I'm just experiencing this now. I learned this week of this, it had my first foray into really digging into it. I heard that pastors were using it to write sermons and prayers. I promise you, Maeve and I promise, that we'll let you know if we are doing that, so you're not wondering, all right? This was not written by AI. But I heard that, and so I, you know, signed up for ChatGPT 3.5 so I didn't have to pay for it. And I wrote in the chat box, write a prayer to use in worship about responsible AI use. And within seconds, this is what came out. And I'm only reading half of it because it was a significant prayer. Gracious and loving Creator, we gather before you acknowledging your sovereignty over all creation, including the advancements in technology that shape our world. Today we come together to lift our hearts in prayers, seeking your guidance and wisdom as we navigate the responsible use of artificial intelligence. We recognize the incredible potential of AI to benefit humanity, but we also acknowledge the ethical challenges and moral dilemmas it presents. Lord, grant us discernment and a deep understanding as we strive to align the development and use of AI with your divine principles. We pray for the creators and developers of AI technologies that they may be guided by ethical considerations, compassion, and a commitment to justice. May their work be grounded in the values of love, equality, and respect for the dignity of every human being. Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, it's powerful. I mean, Maeve and I sat and talked about this for a while, both kind of like, oh my gosh, wondering if we should tell you that you really don't need us anymore. I'm kidding, you definitely do. You definitely do. Just trust me on that. But it is, I have to say, it's kind of breathtaking what it's capable of. And not knowing completely and fully what it's capable of now or in the future is part of how fear comes into the equation. If angels fear to tread in this arena of AI, then we're all fools because every one of us has rushed right in. You could say we haven't had much choice in the matter because it's rushed in upon us. But that's part of the problem and the fear that it could threaten to overtake our human agency and give us no choices. But let me say again that it is not alien to us. It is not an other intelligence. It's not something other than us. Artificial intelligence is automated human intelligence, and there are people among us who have decided that this is where we are going. So here we go. So what are some of the things that, as people of faith, we should be thinking about or wondering here as we are thrust into this new reality? Well, I asked ChatGPT that. What concerns should I have as a Christian about AI? And it spit out 10 points immediately. Number 1, ensure AI respects and upholds the inherent dignity of human beings. Number 2, consider the ethical implications of AI, ensuring they align with Christian values and principles. Number 3, advocate for accountability and transparency in AI systems. Number 4, beware of the potential impact on employment and job displacement. Number 5, ensure privacy rights are protected. Number 6, consider a stance against unbridled use of AI and weapons systems, as it could lead to increased conflict and loss of human life. Number 7, note the environmental impacts of AI. So this is something that I learned this week, that AI systems consume huge amounts of energy and water and have a huge impact upon the environment. What? I thought it was all ethereal up there, but no, there are huge implications for environmental impact. Number 8, be aware of the biases in AI algorithms and advocate for fairness. Right? It's human. We humans are biased, and so it's taking human intelligence and automating it, so it's we've got to be careful of the way it's biased. It can be biased. Number 9, support the idea of maintaining human control of AI systems to avoid scenarios where AI technologies have unchecked autonomy. And number 10, be civically engaged in discussions and decisions related to AI policies and regulations. How's that for a pretty thorough list of what we as people of faith should be attentive to? Thank you, ChatGPT, for your cautious and honest approach to you. And so our first step in having the correct object of our fear be God and not AI lurking out there somewhere on the edges of our consciousness is to learn about it and look clearly at what's at stake and how we can be a part of ensuring that it's used for good and not for bad. We know exactly what the future holds. We really do. Given that it's human-generated, and given that we know the story of our human selves, that we are made in the image of God on one hand, and that we are fallen, sinful creatures on the other hand, we know that AI can and will result in some remarkably good things and some disturbingly bad things. It's already unfolding in that way, of course it is, of course. Any suggestion that what's coming through this technology is the utopia and the salvation that we've dreamed of, which is being claimed out there by many, is wrong-headed. And any suggestion that what's coming is total annihilation is just worthless, a worthless line of thinking, because that gens up fear and immobility, too. The truth of the matter, which has been the truth in every other case of human endeavor and technological advance, is that we need to ensure that good and faithful people, including ourselves, are working to ensure good comes out of this new technology, and in that way outweigh the bad actors who are out there motivated like crazy to use it towards their ends. So we simply lean into what our Judeo-Christian tradition has taught us across the millennia, because it never changes, that we must seek in this mercy, justice, equity, nonviolence, responsibility, love, peacemaking, forgiveness, those things that God asks of us and has always asked of us. We should fear above all else not answering this ancient and new everyday call from God. Fear of AI or of whatever else in this world we fear having no control over is an immobilizing thing, while fear of God is ideally a mobilizer, a motivator, inspiring us to work towards God's intention for this world. Not ours, but God's intention for this world. Things like caring for our neighbor, not dominating them, and forgiving our enemies, not paying them back, and seeking the common good as the bottom line and not profit, and being humble and acknowledging how we too can get it wrong, and being peacemakers, creating what makes for peace and not for war, and all the things God calls us towards for the good. We must remember these and call these to mind, encouraging one another in these basic Christian principles as it relates to artificial intelligence. In the podcast, there's a podcast I was listening to with where Brian Greene, the Santa Clara professor, was being interviewed by Carrie Newhoff. And Carrie asked him what the two or three issues are right now that concern him about AI that maybe we're not concerned enough about. And he first spoke, Brian Greene first spoke about automated warfare, that we're probably not concerned enough about that. But he also said this, mass distraction is something that's really bothering me right now. Everyone is very wrapped up in entertainment or various forms of media consumption, and this kind of mass distraction and focus on things that are not necessarily solving problems or good for souls is dangerous in relation to AI technology. Mass distraction. I've not heard that phrase before, but it's a good one, I think. Of the deadly sins, I've often thought of for our country, when I'm reflecting on our country and the deadly sins that bedevil us, the most are pride and greed, I would suggest. That if we need to work on and confess anything as a country, it's our arrogance that we are simply the best in everything. And it's greed that what drives us most of all in our economy is more and more and more and more and more, and profit is the bottom line. Two of the deadliest of the deadly sins. But Green makes me think that the other deadly sin that is seriously problematic, particularly for our society in the face of artificial intelligence, is sloth. That human tendency to get distracted with what doesn't really matter. To be too tired or too entertained or too comfortable to really bother with being a part of God's work of love and caring for this world. That's the heart of the deadly sin of sloth. To be too distracted, too tired, too entertained or comfortable to really bother with being a part of God's work of love and caring for this world. But there are good and inspired people out there, and in here among us, I'm sure, working hard to ensure that AI is a humanizing force for good and not a dehumanizing force for bad. But it will take their work in this. One of the distinct features of our Christian faith is embodiment or enfleshment. That the divine presence, the divine mind, does not remain ethereal and disembodied out there, but becomes flesh in Christ Jesus. And his spirit and his mind becomes enfleshed in us. These large language models are our collective minds placed ethereally outside of our bodies. But they are not gods in themselves and have no power except what we allow them to have and direct them to have in and through our bodies. God is the only God. Christ is our only Savior. And may the Spirit grant us wisdom for utilizing AI for what is good and right in this world. Amen.